74. Diastole. When Vos's hands reached out to touch his chest, Maul had to fight back an instinctive desire to lash out and knock her away. "Don't move," she said, eyes closed. "If this is going to work, I need to see inside." He forced himself to hold still, jaw clenched, arms rigid at his sides. He could feel his heart pounding together in unison, cardiac muscle contracting, ventricles paddling their way through a sea of leftover adrenaline from their battle as they counted down the final helpless seconds of his life. But now there was something else inside him too, a subtle probing presence that he identified as a telekinetic representation of Voza herself, winding its way through the chambers of his heart.
"What are you?"
Egan asked from behind her.
"Quiet."
She waited and glanced at Maul.
"Hold your breath."
Through gritted teeth, Maul said,
"Why?"
"Because everything moves when you breathe. And I've only got one shot at this." Raising one hand slightly, she spread her fingers and then brought them together as if taking hold of some invisible object. "Your hearts are always in motion. I've got less than a second when all four chambers are at rest." Maul felt a bright shock of pain cut through his left chest. He fought the urge to react. It took every ounce of willpower that he had, and then it was gone. Voza opened her eyes and looked at him.
"That's it."
"Whoa,"
Egan said, sounding impressed.
"How did you do that? You're sure you got them both?"
"No," Voza said. "But if I'm wrong, we'll all know soon enough." She glanced at the crate on the floor of the medbay. "Come on, let's move this thing out of here before another one of us ends up dead." The journey back to the hangar was largely uneventful. Carrying the crate between the three of them, with Egan helping to compensate for Maul's steadily weakening right arm, they made good time. Only once did they come across any sign of life. A small-scale standoff in the prison's metal shop between a heavily armed group of new inmates and the last remaining guards. From what Maul could see, the guards were winning, but only because they knew the terrain. He watched without any particular interest as two of the corrections officers ambushed one of the inmates from behind and tossed him into one of the huge steel baling and shredding machines. The prisoner didn't have time to scream. Beneath him, the floors of Coghive 7 gave a sudden galvanic lurch. The familiar clamor of clockwork began to reverberate through the walls.
"What was that?"
Voza asked from her end of the crate. Maul and Egan exchanged a single glance. Then Egan nodded her onward.
"It means we have to hurry."
By the time they got to the corridor outside the hangar, the walls were peeling apart, sliding sideways and slamming together in an ill-fated attempt to align themselves into new levels and layers. The slamming and scraping noises down here were close to deafening. Voza kept throwing wild glances around her as they stepped over the gaps opening up in the floor around them. In every direction, the great metal landscape was racked by constant erratic shuddering.
"Is this normal?"
she shouted. Egan ducked as a massive sheet of steel flew past his head, spiraling in midair and embedding itself in the opposite wall.
"Nothing's normal here," the boy muttered. "The sooner we're out of here, the better."
Maul trained his eyes on the corridor ahead. As preoccupied as he was with getting the crate aboard the Bandogora ship, there was no mistaking the fact that this reconfiguration was different. That gears and sprockets of Coghive 7 were bent on ripping themselves to shreds. Whether this was some kind of automated self-destruct mode, or simply the inevitable outcome of the matching algorithm run amok, he neither knew nor cared. They were running out of time. Then he realized something else was happening as well. The walls were closing in. He spied the docking port and moved faster, forcing Egan and Voza into a near run to keep pace.
"Going somewhere?"
a voice behind them asked. Maul's head snapped around to see the fully projected hologram of Jabba poised on his repulsor platform, leering back at them like the last lord of creation. Standing directly in front of the hologram, Maul could see a Trandoshan mercenary, a blaster rifle gripped in his hands. The mercenary leveled the weapon at them until the blaster's barrel became a perfect staring O.
"I see you've made a friend,"
Jabba said, nodding at Voza.
"Sewage always sinks to meet the lowest level. Why am I not surprised?"
He didn't wait for the reply.
"What's in the crate?"
"None of your concern," Maul said. "We're leaving with it."
"Leaving?"
The hut chortled and cast a glance at the walls of the hangar.
"No, I think you'll be staying here. I like the idea of seeing you and your new companions being crushed to a pulp inside this metal coffin."
Voza's hands went to her lightsabers.
"Last chance, Jabba."
"Not this time, scum."
With a grimace, the hut gestured, the repulsor platform pivoting around, and the Trandoshan opened fire. Maul was already moving. Dropping his end of the crate, he leapt forward, activating his lightsaber midair, and executed a weightless Ataru-style spin, ducking the volley of blaster fire and swinging the blade in an arc at the Trandoshan's neck. The blow decapitated his opponent so swiftly that for a moment the mercenary's headless body remained erect at the edge of the floating platform before tumbling off, disappearing into a gap that had just opened below them. Jabba's eyes rolled up to meet Maul's. The crime lord was saying something, but the words were blocked out by the bleeding cacophony of mechanical noises, and it hardly mattered anyway. With an offhand swing of one arm, the hut indicated the docking berth. Maul jumped back down to where Egan and Voza were waiting, and together they carried the crate up the gangway toward the port where Jabba's ship, the Star Jewel, was ready for departure.